Yeah, I don't think any one of us would really say that we enjoy being humbled. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Probably doesn't make a lot of sense to anybody.
Only if I can feel good about it.
Yeah, would you like that? That'd be lovely. Yeah, but being humbled is about the worst thing we could think of. A motivation for some, if you recall, Inigo Montoya. When he's trying to convince Miracle Max of why he should heal the man in black, he says, "This is Buttercup's true love. If you heal him, he will stop Humperdinck's wedding." And he says, "I make him better. Humperdinck suffers. Humiliations galore, right? Humiliations galore. Yay! That's what we were hoping for. There's some motivation." But I don't think any of us really think of humility as our old friend, right? As the one that we were looking for. We want to avoid that in almost every way possible. And it seems in our society, it's about self-promotion, and it's about self-sacrifice, and or not self-sacrifice, but building yourself up so that you never have to be humbled again. Love is never having to say you're sorry. What is that? Right? I mean, we just have this really false picture of what we're supposed to do and always present ourselves as. But God's picture of who we are and what we are is worth considering. Humans generally. So before we get to James, I just want to go back to Isaiah 40. A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." There's something about humans. I'm just reminded. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you exalt him? Why would you even connect in this way with humanity when we're so much like this? And so I think we have to keep in balance the whole idea of we are image bearers. We're the imagers of God, and we are like grass that withers and fades. Now we've even discussed on Zoom the desire to be more than that, to be more like a tree planted by rivers of water. And so we know that course as well, as opposed to the chaff. But just generally, humans, we fade. And as we discuss our own mortality, or as we have end of life care planning session tonight with my family for just having those advanced care directives figured out for my family. Just these weird conversations that nobody really wants to have, but we just have to think, okay, we are like grass, and it comes on and then goes away, and that is just the mode of life. And I think we're all addressing our mortality in different ways during this pandemic. But in James 1:9, it says, after this whole idea of letting perseverance take its place, and to ask for wisdom from God, and to know that He's going to provide a wisdom from above that is spiritual, and it's peace loving, and it produces a righteous harvest of righteousness for people. It says, "If any of let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." So this is family language. So the family that James is talking to, the church family. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. Okay, so James, you want me to be full of joy whenever I experience trials, and the rich man, who are you calling rich, by the way? You want the rich man to be to exult and boast in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. So again, this isn't just the evil nations, the wicked people who go after all these other gods and that are like chaff that the wind drives away. This is just humans, and these are people in the church. And I don't know whether I want to be the poor man or the rich man in this situation, but let the let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, because God is going to elevate those in the last place, and the rich in his humiliation, because like the flower of grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat. So it's just echoing Isaiah 40, right? The sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also the rich man will fade away in the midst of his pursuits. And we know in chapter 3, it talks about this rich man and saying, don't give them the high seat of praise and honor in your church services. Like, no, let the lowly people come in. And so this major upheaval of rich and poor, who is exalted, who isn't exalted. But I wonder how we could get to a point where we could number our days, you know? Lord, teach us to understand our mortality, to count those days as purposeful, and to live with humility, so that we don't have to be humiliated in some ways. But I just wonder about this idea of being rich and rejoicing in my humiliation. It seems kind of like an enigma, and it doesn't really work well on the East Side or in America generally to think in these terms. But I think what we're supposed to be looking for is God from above provides wisdom. He provides perspective. He is the one that we can trust to pour out that wisdom in our lives. And if you don't have anything right now, if you're stretched to the end of things, boast that God sees you. He knows you. He's going to raise you up on that last day. He is going to provide for you in every way possible. And if you're rich, be very careful what you lean on. So rich, you know, I'm rich, apparently. I mean, I am, right? We live like kings, you know. We take selfies, you know, when kings of the past would have had to call in painters to get a self-portrait, you know. Kings and queens of the past would have to call their royal jesters. We just turn on Netflix. We live like kings. We have access to so much. And we need to be careful, I think, about how we leverage that influence and access and wealth, because God is into turning upside down our hopes and expectations when we put them in wealth and when we put them in money. So that, I think that's a word for us today, that, you know, anyone who's going to trust in their own wisdom or their own bank account or their own whatever is going to fade away. I used to think, well, okay, yeah, that's true. Rich people could have a big turn for the worse. The stock market could go bad and could, but I think they're pretty smart. It makes a lot of sense that they can rely on their wealth, and that's okay for them in some weird sense. But even without markets tanking and all that kind of stuff, if you rely on your own wisdom to sustain you, be ready for the reversal, because God is about to exalt those who have looked at themselves as being lowly and without resources. He's about to turn that around and give the rich the comeuppance they deserve.